Hola otra vez.
Hola otra vez, ¿qué tal otra vez?
Well, not much has changed since. Mismo.
Lo mismo.
Welcome back immediately
to the second half of this episode.
Second half of this episode, which we have no idea how long it will be. I'm sorry if this one's only like 15 minutes, or maybe you're into 15 minute episodes.
Yeah.
I don't know these things.
We'll test the waters.
But we got up to 45 minutes on the last one. And we said, that's getting a little bit long to have all in one shot. So, welcome to the period 4 storyline.
Right, so we heard the period 2 storyline. Now we're here to hear period 4.
Period 4, similar story. We had the kids piling in. Kids looking at the map. Kids talking about it. They know that there's going to be an option to, like, trade with and attack other nations soon.
Mm-mm.
And we got my favorite quote happening in this period where Maxville's talking to Fergus, and Maxville's talking about, like, who he's gonna, like, ally with in second. And he says, I'm going to tap into second period. And Fergus replies, who's going to... He's going to, like, sell something to second period. He says, who's going to pay you, Yuri? He's broke. Which is funny to me, not because Yuri's broke, but...
Because of the cross-class communication?
Because they're clearly communicating, and they, like, know the financial states of the other people. You know? Like, that was interesting to me, just... On its own.
You've got, like, you've got half the junior class in, like, a a scheme, basically.
Yeah. A scheme, so to speak. Okay. We're gonna start with the attacks, because I know, Oslor is gonna be mad at me for this, but...
Oslor.
That's what I said, isn't it?
Mm-mm.
What did I say?
Oslor. You're missing a syllable.
Oslo's gonna be mad at me. Last time we did a podcast, she was insulted that I said that Fergus's attack on her was like a background detail.
Oh, okay.
She said that was messed up.
Okay, well, you gotta keep the viewers happy, Mr. Goodman.
But we're gonna start with them, and we're gonna start with Sage.
Okay.
Yeah, who is once again making attacks.
I love this
for her. And I love this for her. This is another girl who is, like, kind of similar to Sugarpuff in Period 2. Like, really starting to be willing to take these steps and impose her might on those foolish enough to stand in her way.
You go, Sage.
You go, Sage.
And this is a student that we have in common, so it's exciting to hear.
We're cheering for you.
Yeah.
Anyway, I could not tell you how to pronounce this in a million years, but Sage attacks... Skalkusberg.
Skalkusberg would be my guess.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I could have been wrong. I might have written it down incorrectly.
Mm.
But Sage attacks Skalkusberg, takes him for 20. It was a very kind of, like, interesting interaction, because I think Sage prefers to be quiet. But Skalkusberg did not have the money to pay her right away.
Ah.
And I was like, Sage, you gotta come here. Like, you have to talk this out.
Mm-hmm.
And they did, but it was fun for me to be able to kind of, like, force them. Like talking is a skill, and you should know how to do that.
Absolutely.
You know, like, negotiate it, you know.
Back to that state standard of speaking.
Yeah, and they negotiated. And it's interesting is far less land has been, like, traded and conquered in this period than has in second. Like, second, it's all about the land. People are paying $50 and going into debt over the land.
Yeah.
In this one, it's, like, not so much. People aren't asking for other people's land. And I think, you know, we're getting, like, the instigator, Maxville, is kind of going after one person, you know? And so you have these other kind of, like, side struggles. But, you know, anyway. So Sage attacks Skalkusberg. And the other big attack today, which was a really big deal, and this was very important and not at all a background detail, was Maxville attacks Oslor.
Mm-hmm.
And took her for all of $6.
Oh, okay, interesting.
Yeah, We had this a blood from the stone conversation. Which is, you cannot get blood from the stone. This is the you owing the bank a million versus a billion.
Right.
You owe the bank $1 million. You have a problem. You owe the bank $1 billion. The bank has a problem.
Yeah.
You know, and we get Maxville just not able to collect on this debt that he's creating for her. And this has been a little bit awkward for me to navigate, is the idea of, do you owe somebody debt after this interaction is over?
Oh.
And I've been pretty much siding with no. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty much just like, take them for what you can take them for.
Mm-hmm.
But like, depending on who it is and how they're going about declaring their power, it's different. Like, Gucci Napkin just like declares, like, you owe me the rest of this money, mm-hmm. and I will remember, or I will attack you again.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And Maxville has kind of said similar things, but people are not as afraid of Maxville as they are of Gucci Napkin. Because Maxville seems pretty dead set on using his one attack per day to mess with a very small group of people, you know?
Yes.
And it's pretty much like Moleskata and now Azalor are like his targets. And so like, if you're not Moleskata or Azalor, you're not super worried he's going to collect on you.
Right.
And if you are Moleskata or Azalor, you're not super incentivized to like play nice, you know?
Right.
You're just like, yeah, take me for what I'm worth. And mm-hmm. you're going to do it again tomorrow, and I'll just put up my defenses, and you can fight against that, and, you know, we'll both have a good time here.
We'll do that again.
But, of course, oops, am I on the wrong side? Yeah, I am on the wrong side. Of course, we are nothing in fourth period without the law.
Absolutely.
The law of the land. Speaking of which, I feel a little bit bad about how I'm going to have to title this next phase. Because have you been paying attention to what I've been titling things?
In the episodes?
Yeah.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, so like phase one was like money and resources or something. Right. Or mm-hmm. like just phase one. And then phase two is like war. And now we're kind of like downgrading again. It might be like phase two, like resources. You know.
Which That's
is
okay.
Which is why it probably should have been phase two to begin with.
Just so that the titles of our podcasts would go in exciting
exactly.
order.
Oh my gosh, we have a visitor.
Uh-huh.
We'll hit the pause button real here, real quick.
And we're back.
And we're back through a couple minutes our time, and once again, no time, your time.
Yes. we know you were waiting with bated breath.
Yeah. So we were talking about the laws in period four and just kind of setting the stage for that, I think. We didn't really talk about anything in particular.
No, we were just talking about the importance of the law of the land, and we were about to get into that.
As of today, we are up to 20 laws.
Very exciting. I think we had 12 last time we discussed this.
Okay. I don't really want to go super into detail on these things. I'll give like a brief glance at like some of them.
Yeah, tell me.
13 is basically just defining how land negotiations work. 14, this one was dealt with, I think, a couple days ago. This didn't happen today. But 14 says if you have $0, it just says if you have zero or in debt to the bank or a person or bankrupt, you are not allowed in any form of power.
Right, but wasn't right. that struck down?
That was struck down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we did talk about this. 15 was, if can we put up a law to be voted on again, which was struck down because it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Let's see, are we getting into... Oh, no, that was struck down today. Sorry. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself.
It's all right. You're excited, I understand.
I am excited. Something very exciting happened today.
Tell me.
Do you remember how we recently struck down Moleskata? Very dead, very sad.
We didn't do it, but
we did.
The people did.
The people
struck
have spoken.
Moleskata down from the Supreme Court. I
and
remember.
Then input Yodi Lint.
Yes.
Yes. Of mm-hmm. of the land fund.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what happened today?
What?
Yodi Lint was absent.
Oh.
Yeah.
What do you do when a judge is absent? You need an alternate.
No, you don't. I'm not going to give them an alternate. I tell them, figure it out.
Oh, my God. You told them, figure it out?
I told them, figure it out. So okay. we have Mariposa and Azalor on one side. We ended up giving ourselves names.
Political party names?
Yeah, political party names. Let me make sure I have these names right. Do I have to refresh this page?
We still haven't paid our tech guy.
Yeah. Who is our tech guy, by the way?
I'm going to assume that our tech guy is my husband, considering he's...
that makes sense.
Mr. Ridge has fixed our tech problems in the past. I'm going to assume that he's our tech guy.
Anyway, so Moliscata's group, with kind of Azalor and a couple other that you've heard about, are called the Sentinels.
The Sentinels, okay. Yeah.
Would you like to guess what those led by Maxville are called?
The Maxvillians.
The Maxvillians.
Yeah.
So we have the court is just totally split with no deciding vote.
Oh my goodness.
And part of this was because it was a real kind of niche opportunity for me to make them get along.
Mm-hmm.
And part of this was because now Yodeland has a real motivation to come to class.
Yes.
And frankly, he does not always.
Well.
Yeah.
Here's your chance, Yodeland.
Yeah, like La La Land, like, FaceTimed him, and he's like, does this vote count? I'm like, no, he's got to be in class.
He's
got to
be here, yes, yeah. Agreed.
And so I'm like, you guys are going to have to collaborate. We have the totally split Sentinels and Maxvillians. And I'm like, you guys have just got to figure it out. And this was how Law 15 was vetoed, actually, was through just sheer collaboration of will.
I see. Now that's the kind of speech and debate I can get into.
Yeah,
the collaborative kind.
The collaborative kind. Let's look. There was a very interesting. Okay, Law 17 is important. Okay, in order to create a law, you must abide by Law 12, which already kind of outlines how laws work. But also pay the bank me a fee of $25.
Oh,
which I believe was created by Azalor. In order to stop the Max villains from raining down laws, now that they were in power in the court.
Yeah, I have a question about that, but I'm gonna see how it plays out.
What's your question?
My question is: does this not then fall under the same category of the law that they had previously struck down about if you don't have any money or resources? Then you don't have any power. Because I would argue that this is like economic discrimination.
Right. And that last law was struck down for being discriminatory. Law 14, mm-hmm. about you have zero money and you can't hold a position of power.
Right.
And what's interesting to me is, like, this really did not seem like it was to Oslor's advantage. This did not seem like this was in the best interest of the Sentinels. Because the Sentinels were just objectively less wealthy than the Max villains.
Yes.
You know, the Sentinels, like Azalor, I think, you know, like, was just attacked by Fergus earlier this week, and he took her for a lot, and Moliscata really doesn't have a lot of money. So I wasn't sure why they would do this. I mean, I know that they did it to stop the Max villains from just raining down law after law after law now that they held a majority in the court. But, like, they have the financial backing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I guess it makes sense. I guess her logic was probably, like, they're going to do it anyway. We might as well make it cost them something. Right.
Don't they have to have the support of four citizens?
Yes. Yeah. classmates? The difference is, so they can have the support of four classmates. Both sides can.
Right.
The difference is that when the Sentinels pass a law, the Max villains can simply repeal it with the support of Yodeland.
Right, I get
because
it.
Because due to law, I think, 5? No, due to law 6. The right to veto laws is reserved by the judges. It is chosen by majority vote.
Mm-hmm.
Due to law 6, having a majority in the court lets you veto the opposition's laws.
Got it.
Right? So I think Azalor probably figured, we're not going to get any laws that are going to stick. We might as well make them pay if they want to keep raining down laws.
That makes sense to me.
Right? So you can see how it's a disadvantage for the Max villains, even if it's also a disadvantage for the Sentinels.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
I mean, sometimes you'll light yourself on fire just to watch your enemy burn. I mean,
slightly irrelevant to this.
Okay.
But soon to be not irrelevant.
Got it.
Mariposa, mm-hmm. our judge, wants to buy land.
Oh.
Yeah. Let's see, let's...
Mariposa has her land, right? She wants to buy an additional plot of land.
Yes, there's those empty spaces at the bottom of right. Period 4's map, which are going unclaimed. And I'm not letting people move into them
mm-hmm.
until a law is written about it.
Right.
So, beep, beep, bop, beep, bop. I just want to make sure I'm getting everything. When is Law 18 enacted? Okay. So she's claiming this. And Fergus turns to her and he says, I'll like not veto a land buying law if you agree to vote to veto Law 17.
Okay.
So he's trying to, you know, really leverage the situation.
Right.
Because you have to remember something, like I'm calling Mariposa a sentinel. Mm-hmm. But Mariposa does not self-identify as a sentinel.
Right.
Mariposa considers herself non-political.
A no-party preference.
A no-party preference, exactly. Probably not non-political. Non-political is the wrong word to use when you're deciding all the laws, but...
No-party preference.
No-party preference. And she's, as La La Land pointed out last time we were talking about Fourth Period, voted with the Sentinels. She does not consider herself a Sentinel. Excuse me.
But do the Max villains consider her a Sentinel?
The Max villains know that she's kind of emotionally capable of siding with the Sentinels, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where the Max villains are obviously not.
Got it.
So once again, due to Yodiland's absence, Mariposa finds herself as this very powerful character.
Yes.
And it'll be interesting because they all wanted an absentee judge, you know? And I was right. like, no. And not only can you not have an absentee judge, you can't even vote out Yodiland because of this cooldown you imposed on this law.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, and I love the way they're looking at these laws, and I love how critical they're being, and they're saying, well, what is the law in question? Law 5. There's an ability to vote out another judge for a valid reason. It will be a class vote. The cooldown will be a week long. They said, well, what does a week mean?
Oh, yeah, that's a fair question.
Is it 7 days? Is it just until we get to the same day next week?
Mm-hmm.
Is it, you know, when we get to the end of this week and then we right. start the next week?
Academic like, calendar? Or...
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I love the, you know, 7 academic days. I love how they are looking at words, looking at the language, really analyzing it, and really reading against the grain of these laws that they wrote to try and find ways to work this to their advantage.
Yeah.
You know, and I love the creativity. Like Oslor's rule 17 that we've, or law 17 that we've been talking about, you must pay $25, is like a really creative way of playing the system. You
Absolutely.
Know? So he's trying to get it, Fergus is trying to get that repealed so they can rain down laws again.
Is this not against their law on bribery, though?
Having to pay to...
No, because he's saying, if you help me with law,
yeah.
I will not, you know, I'll help you buy that land or whatever.
Someone probably should have called him out on that.
But I feel like that falls under their, that's mm-hmm. bribery. That's against their own law.
Yeah. That went over my head at the time.
Oh, okay. Well, something to
but
consider.
But you're right. You're totally right. That is bribery.
Breaking their own law, yeah.
And, well, it's on me to enforce that.
All right, Mr. President.
Fortunately, Mariposa agreed for other reasons.
Okay.
Mariposa agreed that it was discriminatory.
Okay.
And she actually cited that it would make it harder for people with fewer resources to pass laws.
Right. I'm in agreement with Mariposa about this.
So she agreed to veto it, and we had collaboration. Stop.
Oh my goodness! I love it. Yay! I love collaboration. Now that is a state standard.
And we had, actually, with Law 15, if can re-put up a law to be voted on again, was unanimously repealed.
Right.
Because...
it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. And that's what I put in the note here. It doesn't make any sense. Retrospectively, actually misused retroactively and retrospectively earlier.
Oh.
And Fergus called me on it. Oh, he was like, you're using that word wrong. I'm like, I am using that word wrong.
That's all right.
He's like, you mean the other one?
We all make mistakes.
So then Fergus sends me the email with the new law, which allows for buying land. And that is Law 18. When buying an unoccupied place of land, the land has a set price to equal to whatever defense level it has. In addition to the 10 inches is $12 rule from Law 7. If right next to the land you wish to buy, this cost is free, and just the defense price has to be paid.
I don't understand this law.
And you know what? When Mariposa asked to buy, I said, you guys figure out what that means.
Yep. Because
you guys are the judges, and you are the ones coming up with the prices. Ultimately, what it means is it's the same as traveling to a new land, like what Moliscata and Maxville did, unless the land is right next to you.
Right,
in which case it's free.
Got it.
Plus the price of whatever defense is there.
Why would there be a defense there, though?
Well, in case you, like, abandon your land.
Okay. I understand.
So one of my favorite things to see in this is Mariposa really asserting herself. We're going back to this theme. Are we hitting this theme too hard of, like, girls being in power?
No, I love this theme. It's one of my most favorite themes, and I think we should talk about it a lot.
Should
play I'm Just a Girl by No Doubt in the background as this happens.
I mean, Mariposa has really, like, just recognized who she is in this game. And is, like, really not afraid to make herself known.
Yes, for knowing your worth.
And
making others acknowledge it.
Fergus and Maxville were arguing something, and she was like, no, like, be quiet. I need to hear what, like, this other person is saying. And, like, she was like, no, like, you be quiet. And she's, like, fully confident in herself, and it's so cool to see. And,
that is amazing.
Yeah.
I love this.
Because she realizes who she is, especially in this situation where Yodiland is absent.
You know,
she realizes, like, whoa, no, like, I'm the one that's important here.
Yes.
It's me. Whatever the opposite of a problem is, it's me.
Yes, I'm the solution.
I'm the solution, it's me. And so I've really enjoyed that, especially because, like, when she first came up to the bench, as it were, she was, like, a little not sure what she was doing there, you know? She was like, I just came up here because, like, I wanted to participate more, which I love that, too.
Mm-hmm.
But now she's silencing the other judges when, like, she needs to make a decision. Like, it's so cool. It's so cool because she knows she's the swing vote. And she identifies no party. And it's the coolest thing.
That is super cool.
And they have to listen to her because she is the swing vote.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Anyway. When do we get into Law 19? Law 19 was very controversial. Right, okay. Moliscata talks to Lazy Lynx, and I don't know why I only wrote down Lazy Lynx. Anyway, he allies with Lazy Lynx.
We can get you some Avid strategies on note-taking if you'd like.
Do I? You don't like this note card thing?
No, it's fine.
He allies with Lazy Lynx, and he allies with Loot Lake, and he allies with Alaska. Okay. Who you'll remember are, like, some of the big votes that went against him.
Right.
In the Supreme Court.
Because he had attacked them.
But he worked it out, and he has co-ownership of their land.
Okay.
And then Fergus attacked him through his land.
Okay.
And it was like, I was like, why? Like it's very blood from a stone. Like Moliscata just doesn't have any money.
Right.
And I'm like, you're just, Like, you have nothing, like, he has nothing that you can take from him.
That's adding insult to injury.
You were just attacking him for the sake of it. And, like, there wasn't even, like, a defense on it. And Moleskata was like, do it. I dare you.
Yeah.
You know? Like, there's nothing that you gain from this. And
what more can you take from me?
And then there was talks of instituting, like, a debt law. And I forget if I intervened with that directly or if I simply, like, let it run its course and it didn't go that way. But I am against a debt law.
Right.
I'm against the law where you keep track of debt over time. Gucci Napkin's doing his own thing where he's, like, enforcing that personally. But, like, I will not be enforcing that.
Right.
Anyway, I think Moleskata, with his new friends, goes and he passes a law because you need a certain amount of support. And I don't know if they're officially aligned as Sentinels or they're simply willing to help him pass laws. Like, each group kind of has their people that they talk to when they want to pass a law because they need four.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to kind of, like, point at, like, the same four people, like, do you support this, do you support this, do you support this? And then they all say yes.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Moleskata's law. Check this out.
Mm-hmm.
If a law is questioned by two judges, so two-fifths of the court, the law in question can be given up to the people, not the judges or Supreme Court members or anyone in a position of power. Which, if five votes are cast to veto, the law is repealed.
Oh, I would think it would be the majority of the class. Interesting.
If the law is attempted to be reinstated, then they, those who wish to reinstate the law, need seven people to support this instead of four. So basically what Moleskata has done is he said, well, since I'm not a judge anymore and I don't have a vote, mm-hmm. and we don't have a majority on the court anyway, I'm saying if a minority questions it, then it's sent to the people.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's trying to take the power back
from the judges. Very clever.
And there's only four judges here today.
That's right, because
they
Yodi
can't
Lan
repeal this
is
law.
In fact absent.
They can't repeal this law, even if they wanted to. Do you want to guess what happens?
I mean, if they can't repeal it, it must get enacted.
Yeah, well, sorry, I should have been more specific. The judges can't repeal it.
Oh, does it end up going to the people?
Fergus uses this law against itself.
Oh.
And he says, well, Maxville and I are going to question this law.
Oh, okay.
And then he gets the support from his five kind of Maxvillains.
Mm-hmm.
And they repeal the law with itself.
I love that.
And I put in my notes here, I said, kind of just because it seemed like a power move, to be honest.
Yes. That's so interesting. They used the law to repeal itself.
Yeah.
Well?
Yeah. And there was kind of a question about, like, what's the order of operations here?
Right. Does it have to be instituted? Yeah. What's the deal here?
But because then Moleskata tried to reinstate the law with the law, and I'm like, the law has been repealed.
Right. Right. I tried to reinstate it with the seven people support, but it had been repealed. So you didn't.
Exactly.
Oh, geez. Geez, Louise. You're starting to see how law gets so complicated.
Then Azalor wrote and passed Law 20, which is the maximum number of laws that we have so far.
And what is Law 20?
It might sound familiar. If the law is attempted to be reinstated, then those who wish to reinstate the law, need seven people to support this instead of four.
Okay.
And I said, that's the exact same thing that you said in Law 19.
Right.
And she said, no, it's different because that was, you know, maybe they were repealing the whole law, whereas this law is allowed. You know, like, basically trying to get parts of the law passed.
Right.
Even if not all of it. And I think her intent was to use Law 20 to reinstate Law 19.
Yes.
The problem was, this backfired spectacularly.
Okay.
One more time, Law 20. If the law is attempted to be reinstated, then they, those who wish to reinstate the law, need 7 people to support this instead of 4.
Right.
Maxville says okay. And then proceeds to reinstate Law 14. Law 14 is, if you have 0 or in debt to the bank or a person or bankrupt, you are not allowed in any form of power.
Oh my goodness.
So I don't know what Oslor's net worth is right now. After being attacked by Fergus, I think, twice consecutively. Fergus yesterday, or Fergus Tuesday, and Maxville today. But that's pretty intense.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
That's pretty
Be
intense.
Careful what you wish for.
And we have to kind of analyze what is the class dynamic, I guess.
Yes.
And let me
class dynamic, I think, plays a huge role in how this game is going.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because Moliscata was very like, he's like, they're just kind of like taking over, and Moliscata is arguing that the Max villains are representing the few and not the many. Mm-hmm. And I was like, maybe not. Like, they have a lot of people. Like, this might be majority rules we're looking at here.
How many kids are in that class?
There are 24, usually about 20 to maybe 22. No, there's 28. I've never mm-hmm. gotten more than 24.
Got it.
And then we'll get a range of, like, 17 on a very small day to 24 on the most. The Max villains are all pretty tightly packed into the corner. You've got Hamburger and Legoland and Doberman, and La La Land seems to be aligned with the Max villains. And Belaine is kind of seems to offer his support. But we have other Max villains in other parts of the class as well that are just quieter. And who voted for Yodeland. And I have here an assignment that I gave them, basically saying, like, why did you vote the way that you did?
Yeah.
And what is your assignment? So I'm not going to read these exactly because I didn't get their permission, but I'll kind of summarize.
Mm-hmm.
So this is from, I'm going to call one of the quieter of the Max villains. They say that they're just kind of staying quiet, but they don't have a strict political standing, but they lean slightly towards the Max villains because they're chaotic and they like watching it happen.
Understandable.
Where's the other one?
Has chaotic alignment.
Oh, they didn't do it. Okay. What's up?
I said that person has chaotic alignment then.
They do. This is from what would seem like an avowed Max villain, basically saying that Maxville is kind of winning, and you know they just want to get more money until you know they really start making moves. So they're more kind of aligned with themselves, but like he's kind of winning, they want to be on his side.
Yeah, whoever gets me the most.
Yeah, they view him as the guy that's doing it. Let's see. Is there anyone else I wanted to touch on? Not really. But I was most interested in that first one, which was basically saying like, it's just chaotic.
Yeah.
And I love watching the chaos, you know, and it's hard for me sometimes watching like Moliscata get beat down.
Yeah.
I really like Moliscata as a person and I like how well and how faithfully he's trying to play this game. And he's being, at this point, somewhat arbitrarily targeted, you know?
Yeah.
He no longer holds this, like, kind of shadow of power and of wealth. I mean, he's not only one of the least wealthy people in the class, but he's being targeted over and over. And it's painful for me watching that happen. And what I was really hoping for would happen earlier in this week, especially when we had the Supreme Court vote, was some sort of humanitarian effort. I was hoping that we would see people saying, like, this is kind of messed up, and like, being willing to lend aid or try and find protection for Moliscata, which we frankly just haven't, you know?
Yeah, I have to wonder, as the teacher in this classroom, it'd probably be good to think about at what point do you step in and how much.
Yeah.
Because what you don't want is Moliscata and company to become demoralized.
Right.
Because right now it seems like it's all in good fun and everyone's having a great time. Mm-hmm. And that's awesome. But I do think it's something to keep tabs on and to kind of think about.
Yeah.
You know, at what point do I have to step in and kind of moderate what's happening?
Yeah.
As the president.
And kind of where do we draw the line between this is like a perfectly normal in-game riff and like maybe this is like stepping outside the realm of the game and getting personal. And that's really hard for me to navigate. I don't know how to navigate this. And part of me doesn't want to, for a very cruel reason, which is, like, this is life. This is, like, people will get in power. I mean, we know this based off of what we teach.
Yes.
Like, people will get in power and then do what they can to keep other people down. And as kind of, like, painful as
I just like to clarify that we're not referring to our admin when we say
that. We are not referring to our admin.
Yeah.
But you know, like, it's a very real world thing that happens. And as painful as it is to watch Moliscata get, like, beat down and how, like, kind of personal this feels to me, like, this happens on governmental scales. I mean, the classic example would be Mitch McConnell versus with Merrick Garland, you know, where in what was it, Obama's last year, 2015, the next guy gets sworn in on like the first of the next year, so it would have been 2015, I think. In Obama's last year, he tried to elect a Supreme Court justice named Merrick Garland. And he was just totally blocked by Mitch McConnell and totally stonewalled and like would not budge, wouldn't hear it. And Merrick Garland, from my understanding, was not even an especially liberal judge. For those of you not familiar with American politics, maybe you're from Belgium, Merrick Garland is a very conservative, he's the conservative leader.
No, that's Mitch McConnell.
Sorry. I got my M's mixed up. Mitch McConnell is a very conservative leader of America and a very powerful senator. And Obama was liberal. And Obama was basically nominating this judge to go into the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court's a very powerful nomination because it's lifetime.
Yes.
You know, all of these other branches of the United States government are very temporary in nature, years, 2 years, 6 years.
Eight.
But the judicial system, you're in there for life.
Yes.
And it's very difficult to impeach a judge.
Mm-hmm.
You need something like 2/3 of the Senate and the House or something. Like it's a huge bar. But but Mitch McConnell just said like no. And the reason he gave was that because Obama was about to be outed as president, the people should have the next president choose the Supreme Court justice.
Right.
And that was the reasoning he gave. And then almost exactly 4 years later, another spot opens up.
Yeah, I forget. Ruth Bader Ginsburg passes
that
away.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Rest in peace.
In the last year of Trump's presidency, Ruth Bader Ginsburg passes away, and there's an opening. And Mitch McConnell passes it, despite it going directly in conflict with what he said earlier.
Right.
And I mean, people were really pissed off about it, you know. And Mitch McConnell gave some sort of like speech, which you can argue was hollow, or you can argue was just him doing his job. basically saying, like, you know, my job is to, you know, fight for the right of my constituents, and I will do that, you know, till the day I die or whatever. That's, like, really frustrating.
Yes.
You know, that is, like, someone who's in power and knows how to play the game and is imposing his power very effectively. And it's super frustrating. And this experiment reminds me that that's happening. You know, this experiment reminds me that, like, this game that these kids are playing is in very many ways real.
Yeah.
And
it has many real-world implications.
And so that's kind of the cruel reason why I don't want to, you know, involve myself in La Escada is, like, this is real. Like, this is super, super real. And it's about as real as anything's going to get, you know. But, you know, on the other side, like, maybe high school isn't, like, maybe high school's supposed to be a safety net where we don't quite give them what's real yet.
I don't agree with your cruel reason.
Okay.
Because while this has real world implications and I agree, like, these things happen and we have to learn how to deal with hardship, right? Mm-hmm. Like, part of our job as teachers is to help these kids move into the world outside of high school. And part of that is teaching them to deal with trials and tribulations.
Mm-hmm.
But your classroom still has to be a safe space.
Okay.
And if you get kids that are, like, at the end of the day, this is not the Supreme Court.
Right, that's true.
This is your classroom. And I think that you, I mean, I guess you could argue that the president has a responsibility to protect these people too.
Right,
but, like,
that,
you as the teacher have a responsibility to protect, like, the emotional safety mm-hmm. of everyone in your room.
Mm-hmm.
And so, while I think that there's certainly a lot of leeway to not get involved and mm-hmm. let it sit back, I do really think you have to think about when you're going to involve yourself, because
sure.
you can't create an environment that mm-hmm. like allows Mola Scott or any other kid to get demoralized. I feel
sure. No, and that's
and life is cruel enough already.
that's a really good point, and I mean I don't think that Mola Scott is you know at the point where he's like upset. You know, I think he's still got his, you know...
Yeah,
like
it's fine now.
It doesn't feel personal to me yet. Like, I think Maxville is having fun, so to speak, but it doesn't feel personal. It doesn't feel, like, malicious.
Yeah, it doesn't
feel
like
that way to me
either.
It feels like they're playing a game and they're messing with each other.
Yeah.
But you make a really good point.
Something to think about.
About how that, you know, could be on the horizon, because this is, in many ways, real.
Yes.
You know... It is in many ways real, and that is something that could be on the horizon. I guess, you know, if I felt like people were really getting hurt on this, I wouldn't really hesitate to call it off. You know, like
yeah.
if I felt like we were crossing a line, and like kids are crying every day, you know, like
I don't think you're...
you know, like if we get to that point, it's ending. At least in whatever period that's happening with. And
right.
then we can, like, reevaluate the structures of why that happened and reintroduce it for next year. But, like, that is not my vibe.
Good. It doesn't seem like it's the vibe.
No. I think Mola Scott is reasonably frustrated. I think it's completely reasonable, his frustration.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that with his alliance of Loot Lake and Alaska and Link. What is his name?
Loot Lake?
No, Lazy Links.
Lazy Links.
Loot Lake and Lazy Links. That one's hard for me.
I understand.
I think with his alliance of those guys, he probably has enough to, you know, if he talks to the right people. Like clearly there's some Maxvillians who are not going to budge.
Right.
You know, but there's a lot of people who are not Maxvillians and not actively participating, you know, and Mola Scott talked to me after the class. He was like, I talked to some of these people and they said they were kind of interested in the game, but didn't really understand what was happening. And once I explained it to them, they were really on my side. And I think, you know, if he campaigns and it does kind of put the onus on Mola Scott to do this. But fortunately, I have an ace up my sleeve.
Oh.
Which I'm very hopeful changes the dynamic of this class. Ooh. Before things get too far.
Are we getting to hear about the ace or not yet?
You've already heard about it.
Oh, okay.
His name is Gucci Napkin.
Oh, yes.
Gucci Napkin is coming in real hot and real fast.
Yes.
And he was in there at lunch, in my room at lunch, kind of when I came back, and he was like, wait, I can, like, he was kind of realizing the depth and breadth that he was able to attack. And he kind of did the monster math on how much his oil rig is going to get him. And he was saying, like, can I attack multiple times with the same plane? I'm like, no, you're still only one person. And he's like, mm-hmm. I'll buy three planes. And oh. He probably can, like, if he yeah. really doubles down on that investment, because a plane's attack is, it works the same as a soldier's. Mm-hmm. And if you pay 100 oil into it, like, it's worth $100 soldier.
Oh, okay.
It's not nothing. Like, this is very significant.
For some reason in my mind, I thought you, like, had to put your soldier on the plane and that then, is, like, that is, deploy like, it.
If you want to, like, also kind of, like, do that and, mm-hmm. like, I haven't totally worked out the mechanics of it, but, like, you can also do that. And if you want to, like, send your stocks over to make a trade, like, they are out of the game until the stocks make it there. And he's like, I'm going to take over everybody. He's like,
that's what he said at the beginning of this yeah. game. He said, yeah. I'm going to take over the world.
Yeah, and it wasn't because the planes get one attack per day. It's because the people get one attack per day. And he's like, I'm going to buy three planes and give one to Toenail and one to Wienerschnitzel, and then they'll make attacks kind of for me. Gucci Napkin's coming in really hot. And I mean, I think now that he's realized, like, what the planes can do, he's probably going to invest more into his oil well. I think the, depending on how quickly period two takes to the laws and how effective they are with the laws, he could be a really, really big threat to period two. I was talking to Fergus at lunch and Fergus was talking to Maxville and Gucci Napkin was there. We had a kind of a cross-classroom communication. It was fun. And Fergus talking to Maxville, I was like, oh, this guy sounds like he'd be, like, a really good ally. And then, like, as, like, after Gucci Napkin left, I was like, he's not an ally. Like, you need him to be your friend. He is, like, vastly more powerful than you are.
Yeah. Gucci Napkin is coming for you all.
Yeah, like...
with rap star Polo G playing in his plane as he flies over to conquer the world.
You know, and I mean, you know, Maxville has soldiers of similar strength, but, like, Gucci Napkin has that, like, triple strike that, like, and he's organized in that way, and he's truly a force to be reckoned with, and I think that, like, I think fourth period can take him if they organize, and I think the first time Gucci Napkin sends in, like, a triple strike on their land, like, I think they're going to listen up real fast.
Yeah.
You know? I think they're going to listen up real fast to that. Is there anything more I have on this?
There's so much exciting stuff on the horizon.
Yeah. I think that's it. We'll see how it goes. We'll see if Moleskata can kind of turn the tide. Because he's realizing this is untapped resource. This is something that's kind of frustrated me, not specifically with Moleskata. Actually, Moleskata is the one that's doing something to stop me from being frustrated about it. when the judges are, like, arguing to the wrong person.
Right.
Like, when they're arguing to me, I'm like, I'm just going to enforce what you tell me to enforce.
Right.
You know? And when they're, like, campaigning, but, like, when the Max villains are campaigning with the hardline Sentinels and the Sentinels are campaigning with, like, the hardline Max villains, I'm like, you're not gonna make any progress with them. Like,
yeah.
Like, maybe you'll make progress with La La Land swing if states. You can make, like, yeah, exactly. Maybe you'll make progress with, like, La La Land if, like, he, like, sees some financial incentive to do so, but, mm-hmm. like, you need the swing states. And you're not campaigning to the swing states. And this is Moleskata kind of maybe pulling a bit of a sugar puff. And realizing that there are these resources in people who have not been participating.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. which brings me joy in the sense that, like, we might be getting a larger classroom engagement.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? And that was just a question of how do we make this more, like, academic. Because we got nothing done in second, and we got nothing done in fourth.
This is not nothing, though.
This is not nothing.
You have to remember that half of our standards are speaking and listening, which That's is true. All they're doing.
That's
it's
true.
Amazing, actually. I have to disagree that it's nothing. It's not what you intended to get done today.
Exactly. I wanted them to work on their books. It is not what I intended, but it is not nothing.
That's okay. Correct.
It's also going to be interesting because there's still value in period three stocks.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and I might have to kind of, like, I don't know how I'm going to, like, hype it up to them. I imagine they're hearing through their friends that stuff is going on. Like, I know, gosh, is his name, it's not Zestone. It's, I mentioned him earlier in the podcast.
A third period kid.
And Triplin, who's in third period, are talking and are, like, talking with second and fourth period kids, and, like, they know stuff is happening and they know something's going on, and I don't know, I'll probably just, like, go up to them and be like, you guys are under attack, do you want to put up a defense? And then they will or they won't, and then whatever happens happens, and they'll catch on or they won't. They'll either fight back or they will simply be farmed.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see.
All that and more.
Any final questions or thoughts?
No, I'm just really excited to see where this next phase goes and kind of what happens. And it's an interesting play for sure.
Okay. With that.
Vaya con Dios.
Permanecer con Dios.